And good evening, everyone, and good morning, Australia. You are listening to Radio Tony, and we are tackling trauma with Tracy and Tony. Now, I am going to just let you know that we've been having some technical issues with my video. So if it freezes, I'm going to turn my video off so you can still hear my voice, but you'll always be able to see the gorgeous Tracy today. Just a quick reminder that we are live streaming into LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. So welcome to all our live streaming listeners and watchers on those channels and all the other live streaming channels across the US today. We have an important subject that we want to talk to you for the remainder of the year about, and that is trauma. How it shows up, what it is, and how we can fix it in our lives. We've also got a little downloadable trauma workbook that goes with this series, and I'd like to encourage you to download that and have a look at it. And it's part of the Radio Tony website. If you go and look under co-host, it's directly under Tracy, as well as all of Tracy's information, so that you can connect and contact her because she is an expert in helping people deal and heal with their trauma. Now, before I introduce our lovely Tracy, I just want to tell you a little bit about her. She's an award-winning international speaker and author and a qualified life coach. She's worked alongside men and women for over 25 years, helping them rebuild and allowing people to live the best versions of their lives. She's spent years helping people create their own authentic journey. Tracy knows her community and the needs of her people, knowing what real brokenness is. She has managed to build her life from that of an alcoholic, abused, poverty-stricken child to where she is today, a passionate, warm, caring, amazing woman. And her experiences have given her insight and wisdom that today help people create the lives that they dream of. Through her books, seminars, retreats, and life coaching, Tracy has a way of equipping people to reach their goals and live their life at their fullest potential. And so this week, Tracy and I wanted to explore exactly what trauma is. And just a reminder, we are not psychologists. However, we have an abundance of lived experience and we have enough reading and research to be able to help you on your track to healing from your trauma. And we also encourage you to use the methods and talk to the people that help you most. So, Tracy, let's get on with the show. What is trauma?
Good morning, everybody. Good evening in the States. Tony, you are speaking my language. I love this subject. And I want to say right up front, something that most people don't know about trauma is it's the actual word is a noun. And that means that
Yes.
it's a naming word, which means that it's actually a physical state. It's actually a descriptive thing. It's actually something that's named. So it's a noun. Just like my name is Tracy, trauma is its own thing. And I think it's really good for us to set that up first thing because so often people think it's something that nobody really talks about. It's something not many people have, but it's actually a defined thing. And it's actually a deeply distressing or disturbing experience or physical pain. And most times it's both. So I think, you know, that that's a really interesting sort of concept because trauma is when something arrives in your life and takes you out at the knees. It's when something happens that is really life-defining and always in the negative. And so when we understand that it's an actual thing, then we can, I think the beautiful part about it is we can actually own it then and we can say, okay, that's what trauma is. It doesn't mean it's something I'm doing, doesn't mean it's something I'm acting out. It's actually something in its own entirety and right. And when we understand that, then we can say, okay, now how do we help it? And that's where you and I come in, Tony.
Yeah. So just for people to understand, it's actually well documented. So huge, big organizations like the American Psychiatric Association have manuals that describe exactly what trauma is and how it comes about in people's lives. And it can be lots of things from a physical event to a traumatic occurrence to a natural disaster, and we all
Hey,
will
Tony,
suffer from.
I just lost you then. I've lost all my audio, so I don't know when I'm meant to jump in here. Please forgive us. But I've got no audio. I can't hear you, Tony, so.
Welcome to Australia, the land where
No, it's gone.
technology seems to. Okay, so while we're waiting for Tracy to jump back on, what I'm going to get her to do, if I can, is to jump off and jump back on.
Me? You want me to do that?
Yes, jump off and jump back on. And in the meantime, I'll tell our listeners what the American Psychiatric Association says about trauma. So Tracy's going to jump off and jump back on. Now, guys, the big organizations that talk about psychology and trauma discuss trauma in terms of a set of behaviors. And those behaviors are characterized by a number of things. And in particular, they describe it directly experiencing the traumatic event is witnessing in person, the traumatic event as it occurred to others, learning about a traumatic event that occurred to a close family member or close friend, or an actual or threatened death of a family member or friend. These can be violent or accidental, or they may be experienced in a repeated fashion, or by extreme exposure to adverse details of that particular traumatic event. So that's the description in terms of the governing bodies that talk about psychology and psychiatric issues across the world. And an important thing to know is that it doesn't discriminate, and it is pervasive across the whole world. So the World Mental Health Survey, conducted by WHO, the World Health Organization, found that at least a third or more people surveyed from 26 different countries had experienced trauma, and the number rose to 70% when the group was limited to people experiencing core disorders as defined by their classification. So trauma is a massive thing across the world. So it's important that we talk about this subject and that we discuss it in terms that people understand if it's impacting on their life. Some of those symptoms could include feelings of loss of control, betrayal, abuse of power, helplessness, pain, confusion, loss. It doesn't need to be a war level, natural disaster, or personal assault to cause trauma and affect someone profoundly. So, Tracy, let's talk about some of the common responses and symptoms of trauma so that our listeners can grasp what it may show up in their lives as.
Okay, sure. So there's three stages of trauma, which is acute, chronic, and complex, and they all react to our bodies differently. So if you have acute trauma, that's a one-off event where something tragic happens, something huge happens. And at any time that we face trauma, our amygdala in our brain goes to the fight or flight process, and it
It
fills our
does.
bodies with adrenaline, which is helping us to deal with the situation. And that's fantastic if it's acute, if that's the one-off event. But Tony, you and I both know, because we've lived through this, that for many people it is chronic, which is repeated and prolonged, or complex, where they see
Yes.
it multiple times. In that stage, for me, when I was a young child and watching DV happen on a daily basis, being involved in it, being the person that's being harmed, what happened with my amygdala is that it just went into overdrive and it never got to shut down. So my body got filled with adrenaline and cortisol. And by the time I was 10 years of age, I had adrenal fatigue. And so from all of that, you can have heart problems, you can have muscular problems, because your body can't deal with adrenaline at that level. And it can't deal with it. So you can't sleep well, you don't want to eat well. When you do eat, you can't process your food. So it's hugely impacting on us physically, especially when we go to those 2 second stages.
And Tracy, just a reminder that our amygdala is part of our brain that is meant to protect us. And some of what we're describing would have protected us as human beings in days gone by when there were big, nasty, the world was a nasty place. What's happened in modern society is that we don't need it to protect us from big, bad animals such as, you know, mammoths, etc. But it continues to protect us in trauma. And if you can't switch off that part of your brain that is there to protect you, it goes into overdrive, as Tracy has described. But there are ways in which you can help your brain get out of that fight or flight that is protecting you. The problem is that lots of people don't realize that this is what the trauma is doing in their bodies and to them, as they, particularly if they're young, and particularly in Tracy's case, when she was a child, when this was happening, weren't you, Tracy?
Yeah, I was. I'd been abused by 12 men before I was 12, so I was very young when most of my trauma occurred.
And do you think, Tracy, that it took you until you were into your adult years to realise what was happening within your body? And you'd actually didn't realise the level of trauma that your body had experienced until your adult brain started to search for some answers, yeah?
Yeah, because here's the thing, Tony. When we're growing up, as we're maturing and becoming into an adult, our body is at its peak performance. So between the ages of like 10 and 21, our body is at peak performance. In generations gone past, that was when people became mothers and people had easy childbirth because their bodies were in peak performance. So it's not until your mid-20s that you can start to see signs of childhood trauma, because your body can cope with it till then. But around 25, when our hormones, or our, for both men and women, start to plateau out a bit because we don't need to grow quite so fast. We start to slow down our growth by about 82%, I think it is. Our limbs don't need to grow anymore. We're all fully grown. Our body doesn't need to metabolize food as fast because we're not growing as fast. So normally around 25 is when all of a sudden people start to have this incredible weight gain or headaches or inability to sleep. Or normally what coincides with that is they've begun to go to work, they've begun a family, and other stress triggers appear and the trauma is dormant and rises.
And Tracy, it's also important in talking about that particular age of entry into adulthood that lots and lots and lots of people don't recognize the trauma that they were subjected to in their younger lives until they get to that age. So if you think about some of the more stories that we've heard on the media about people suddenly remembering, it's actually not sudden remembering of the trauma. It's just that your brain has gotten to a stage where it's mature enough to start dealing and healing with some of that trauma that they've experienced as a child. So it's not necessarily that they've discovered or the trauma has suddenly come up, although that is the case for some people. It just means that your brain is now thinking, okay, maybe I can start to deal with some of the things that I've been through. And that happens in your adult life. So people that recall childhood trauma in their adult lives, that's an expected part of the trauma process. Many children and their brains protect them from what's going on in their life by shutting down their thoughts, memories from those childhood traumas. Some people, in fact, don't recall trauma, or it doesn't show up consciously in their lives until they're quite a lot older. Some people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. However, your body knows, and it often presents itself in a physical way, Tracy. So when we talk about those ways in which trauma shows up in our adult lives, we are talking about the things like weight gain, headaches, nightmares, being triggered, feeling sensitive to certain lights and sounds. And I know that you went through some of this as well. Can you tell our listeners about that, Tracy?
Yeah, so, you know, when you have trauma, it will have a trigger. So what happens is, at the moment that trauma occurs, your amygdala connects so quickly with the adrenal glands and sends out so much adrenaline for you to cope, so that the car doesn't roll, so that you save somebody's life, so that you get out of the way of the punch, so that you avoid the huge accident. At that moment, that happens so quickly, you actually do not have process or time to process what's physically happened. And what happens is, after that subsides, the impact hits you, which is why people die of shock, especially in their older years. Because about an hour later, when you're out of the car and in the ambulance, or dad's calmed down, or the person that abused you's gone away, or whatever has happened in your trauma, whatever's happened, when the quiet comes, that's when the shock comes up and you have to face it. So the problem with that is that you're often alone then, or if you don't have the security or the safety people around you, then what will happen is you will find your own way to cope. And your own way to cope is to become numb and shut down. So for me, I had the World Health Organization says there's four major triggers that tell you you're still in trauma and that you probably have PTSD. First of them is being startled. When your startle reflex reacts really quickly. So a loud door, a man yelling, I had a lot of startle reflexes. Somebody screeching in a car, somebody banging their fist into a wall, or anything like that was a startle reflex for me. And what it does is it makes you shake and you try to control it. The second one is a withdrawal, where you can't be bothered facing the day, where you wake up and you don't want to go to work, even though you've got a great job. You don't want to go shopping, even though you're financially secure. You don't want to face your children, even though you love them. The second one is having moments where you start crying and it becomes sobbing and is uncontrollable.
Yes.
Which means that the trauma is bringing up some very deep-seated grief for you. And the fourth one is when you get to a point of being numb and not caring what people think about you, what people say about you, and you start, often at that stage, people are self-medicating with something so that they can get along and pretend, because in actual fact, they've just shut down. They've just got too much to deal with and there's nothing left.
I was going to say, Tracy, for some people who've experienced trauma, there is that element of numbing. So that is alcohol abuse, drug abuse, and then the other two major components of trauma are depression and anxiety. So anxiety, again, related to that startle reflex. And I know for myself, even today, as much as I've worked on my stuff, there will be a sudden loud bang or a door slamming and I still jump. So what we're saying is that some of these things you will heal and learn how to deal with, but some of them will remain and take you by surprise every now and then. In terms of the talk about depression in relation to trauma, it's the whole feeling of, I just don't want to go there. I just don't want to think. I just don't want to talk to people. And that is directly related to the trauma that you've experienced. Tracy, one of the other things that happens in trauma, and some of the things that happen when you re-experience trauma, are those memories around the particular trauma. When your mind keeps returning to the spot and mulls the trauma over again and again and again, what could have I done? How could I have prevented? Or even blaming yourself and thinking, well, I must have deserved that. It's like a negative loop in your brain. And I know that you experienced this as well, didn't you, Trace?
Oh, for sure, for sure. Anybody who goes through childhood sexual abuse or domestic violence always blames themselves, because up until the age of 13, you can't tell the difference between fact and fiction for 24 hours a day. So children go in and out of believing fact or fiction, which is why they believe movies, which is why they see Superman and they believe he's real, which is why they believe Santa is real, why they believe the Tooth Fairy is real, and why they understand it can't possibly be mum and dad. But after 13, they start to really be able to differentiate fact from fiction. So if you're abused under 13 years of age, you have no time, you've got no framework. It had to be, it's hard to assimilate it. Plus, we are conditioned in both the culture in America and here in Australia that our parents are correct, our parents are right. We're born into a home with families, and their idea is that they nurture us. So whenever it's related to that, and it's not about, an instant accident or an instant death or something else, there's always, that whole concept, well, I had to be to blame because, for me, for years, I thought, what was wrong with me? Nobody else had this. I went to school back in, I started school in, the late 60s, and everybody's mum and dad lived together. Everybody's mum and dad were happy. Everybody was okay. And nobody had bruising like me. Nobody had sadness like me. So what was wrong with me? Why did I get this family? Why does my family so broken? And it made no sense. And there was nothing to assimilate it to. So it had to be internal, had to be somehow my fault.
And kids at that age don't talk about that stuff readily or easy because you think that your family is the reality of everyone's family. And again, it's not often not until you get older and have some adult thought and conversation that you suddenly realize, oh gosh, that wasn't. That's not okay. That's not how families should be. And that realization in itself is quite shocking for a lot of people.
Oh,
And
absolutely. Absolutely.
I know, Tracy, from having spoken to you that you had one of those moments later, in your life where you suddenly realized, oh gosh, that wasn't what I should have had to experience as a child. And then there's a disconnect between what should have been your reality and what was your reality. And you, in fact, almost re-traumatized, realizing that what you thought was normal was not actually normal or acceptable.
And that's why I agreed to do this show, Tony, because trauma is a big deal. And our listeners that are dealing with this, it's a huge thing. To actually process trauma is the biggest, boldest, most crazy thing you'll ever do in your life. Because strangely
And
enough,
it's courageous.
it is highly courageous. Because the crazy thing about it is that when you deal with trauma, you're going to bring trauma. And that's where people get really stuck, because we have to reframe the memory. And often, because there's three stages to dealing with it, and the second stage is grief and acceptance, and that's when extra trauma comes in. I can remember I probably was about 35 years of age, and I just had, no, I would have been younger, I was 32, because Elena was a baby, my third daughter. And we came over to Australia. We were living in New Zealand at the time, came over to Australia for Christmas. And Paul's dad had had a really great year in his business, and he'd decided to buy presents for his wife and his two daughters. And that was beautiful. He'd bought them necklaces. But what blew me away was he bought one for me, because I was also his daughter. And it was the first time in my life I'd had a gift from a father. And so I was completely undone. In the middle of Christmas, when everybody's saying how beautiful it is, I'm struggling not to lose it. I'm struggling not to cry. I'm struggling to keep my act together. And I just say, listen, excuse me, I'm just going to need a minute. And just the intensity of his intention, his beautiful, pure intention.
Yes.
At that moment, it healed something. It actually also triggered something. And that's the thing.
Yes.
People that have had deep trauma, to be really honest with you guys, you have to learn some CBT practices, because some of it you're going to live with.
Yes.
Some of the triggers
forever.
You're going to live with. And for me, for you know, that was a moment where, you know, I had my own dad. My own dad is still alive to this day, but he wouldn't know my birth date. I've never had a gift from him. I've never had any kindness from him. And here's a father-in-law that had known me, 7 years, and he bought
it
because he said, you know, these are for my three daughters, and it just undid me. But at the same time, it healed me. So, you know, you do have those moments. You do have those. And they are radically important, and they're radically courageous to face. But you have to, for the sake of yourself, because living with trauma will kill you early, and it will make your life very, very unbearable as you age because of the impact on your body that it takes.
Absolutely, Tracy. In talking about trauma, we can't talk about it without talking about the physical impacts on your body. And there's so many studies out there now that link non-healing of trauma to physical ailments in your body. And for me, that was depression, anxiety, and a chronic aggressive rheumatoid arthritis. And the links between those things and non-healing of your trauma are defined and shown within science. So what we're trying to say today is that even though it may be a struggle to heal from your trauma, the important thing is that you try, because otherwise you'll leave this life early, you will have an unfulfilled life, and you won't get to live that life that you were meant to live. And that's why Tracy and I are so impassioned about talking about trauma and letting people know that there is hope, that there is healing, and that there is help to get through this. So if you make a decision to try and start healing from your particular trauma, know that it's going to be difficult. And it is difficult, isn't it, Tracy?
Yeah. Look, I don't like the word difficult, Tony, because I think subconsciously it puts us off. But let me tell you something. Dealing with it is hard. It's work. It's a conscious effort. It's something you have to do on purpose. But here's the thing. Why would you give up your health to someone else? Why, after the trauma, would you let them then own your health? Which, as we all know, is the number one core value of every human. Who wants to live with depression and anxiety? You can't earn money if you're sick. You can't have a life fulfilled if you're sick. You can't raise great kids if you're sick. You know, bitterness and unforgiveness and anger, they create such a toxic gut that your liver and kidneys will look like alcoholics by the time you're 40. Like, just let that sink
and
in. That's huge.
Yes, it is. It is. Again, I'm not sure that people realize that what happens in our mind and brain and what we experience in life then and if you don't work through it, it manifests in some sort of physical illness. Again, the majority of people who have had trauma will experience some sort of depression or anxiety disorder, and in combination with that, a PTSD reaction, which means they feel continually unsettled, upset, and not right with the world. But what we want to enforce today is that there is healing, there is hope. And despite the fact that we say that it's hard, it's so worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Like, we're standing here before you today to say that this work is so worthwhile. Look at Tracy's life. There, I remember the story that Tracy told me about when she was 18 or 19, and the first man who ever recognized her amazing qualities and recognized that she was struggling and had a real problem with alcohol. And I'll let Tracy tell the rest of the story, because it's a powerful one today, because often it's someone outside of us that will give us that hand up and help us on that way to healing. So Tracy, at I think you were 18 or 19, and you were already drinking quite a lot.
Yeah, I was, 'cause
to numb your pain.
Look, I came from that, Tony. How did I know any better? I was adamant I wasn't going to be my parents, but I was so hurt by them. I was so bitter with about them. Of course, I was just programmed to do it. I was programmed to attract people that would hurt me. I was programmed to drink to feel better about that, and it was a vicious cycle. And one day I was adding Baileys to my coffee at work, and my boss came in and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Having breakfast." And I thought he would just laugh it off, but he didn't. He called me aside and said, "Tracy, you have to go and see." I worked at a brewery, so I was working with alcohol. So they were very
concerned
that I was drinking on site. And I was 18, yes. So I was only just legal, literally just legal by about a week. And so their concern was that I'd been doing it illegally just 2 or 3 weeks before, which I had, to be honest with you. And New Zealand, you can drink at 18. I was drinking before that. Pretty much he sent me to the psychologist. It was a huge company, a huge brewery, and they had their own in-house counsel. And so the psychologist asked me a couple of questions, and I had no idea what even a psychologist was. So obviously he was trained to unpack me. Before I knew it, I was telling my story. And I'll never forget, at the end of it, he put his book down that he'd been writing in, and he said to me, "Tracy, I can't help you." He said, "You're not going to get over it." He said, "You will need to be medicated. You will need to go to AA. You'll be an alcoholic all your life. And I expect that you will not contribute to society by the time you're 30 and dead by 40. And I walked out of his room at 18, just numb. And all of a sudden, I just thought, wow. And, you know, I tell that story now and people are like, "Oh my goodness, how terrible." But you need to remember, the girl that you're looking at, the woman you're looking at today, was not the woman who sat in his office. In actual fact, I believe he spoke truth to me. I think he shocked me into making a decision, and I made a very clear-cut decision, which is how I wrote the book, The Unhappy Smile, came out of this 5-year journey I'm about to tell you, where I gave myself 5 years, or I was going to just quietly take my life and be my own self-fulfilling prophecy. And so I went looking for 5 years to see what the answers were to healing. And I found 9 of them. And that's why I wrote the book, The Unhappy Smile, when I turned 50. And all over the world, people are learning these simple things, because I thought everybody knew but me. But I've since discovered most people don't know them. And so, you know, as you know, Tony, the book's had great success in Spain as well.
It's a powerfully written book, so much so that I actually have Tracy's book sitting beside my book with notes in it and fluoro sticky notes for the bits that I want to go back and read from time to time. So, guys, if you're listening here, Radio Tony's website has all of Tracy's information and a direct link to how you can connect with Tracy and get her book. And if you've ever had trauma in your life, you're struggling to cope with trauma, then this little book will help you do that. My book was a little different in that I wrote from a different space, and rather than I wrote my story to show people that you can go through lots of trauma and still heal and have a happy life, whereas Tracy's book is about the things that will help you work through that trauma. Because it, again, we can't stress this enough. If you want to live a long and wonderful life, if you want to be around for your family and kids for a long time, then you must do the work involved to heal trauma. And again, it doesn't have to be a huge horrible trauma, as Tracy talks about, it can be recovering from working in a war zone. It can be recovering from seeing a fatal accident. Your trauma is unique to you, and your trauma requires a unique way to help you heal.
For sure.
And again, the importance of healing should never be underestimated. Each and every one of us as a human being is unique in this world, and each and every one of us has people that we need to meet, that we need to work with or be friends with or experience. If you deprive the world of your best self, you are depriving those people of the thing that only you can give them. Isn't that true, Tracy?
So true. And, you know, right now, Tony, we're all in the middle of COVID-19, and that has shaken our world. It has reshaped our world as we know it. In many parts of Australia, and I know in the States, you can't even live as you were living this time last year. You know, there's parts of our country where people can't even go to the beach unless it's less than 4Ks from their home. You know, so that is, and that's huge because Australians live at the beach. We're all sun bunnies, you know. And
we
do. The thing is that if you're dealing with trauma, and that is why I wrote my book so simply, because I knew that people dealing with trauma would be under stress. And under stress, you need it broken down. You need it made simplistic. Because if you don't deal with your trauma and you add on the COVID-19 stress, depression
yes.
and PTSD are inevitable. You know, I'm getting off this call today and I'm doing a workshop with a couple of girls whose best friend suicided yesterday afternoon at 19, totally out of the blue. And there's this little group and they're no longer at uni because our unis are closed. And so somebody contacted me, would you do a Zoom call with these uni students because they're struggling? This girl was the funniest. She was the most outgoing, the most happiest. And she took a life. And they don't know even what to do with that because they're not even allowed to hug each other and they're allowed to attend the funeral because only 10 of them can go. She has a family of 18, so none of their friends can attend. Like, it's crazy stuff. And like never before, the best thing you can do for you is just check in. And if there's trauma and if there's stress, just find ways to deal with it. Get hold of the resources we're talking to you about. Find people. Use us or other people. Find somebody who gets you, who understands it. Work with them. I work with people in Germany and the States on Zoom calls all the time, helping them process this stuff. Because the world is actually way closer than we realize. COVID likes to make out we've all got extended. But you know what? You can Zoom call Tony Lontis. You can Zoom call anybody you want.
Absolutely.
A Zoom call puts us face to face, and you know, next thing you know, we're talking and helping one another. So do reach out and realize that this is really important, because if we go into a worldwide depression, what happens then? It's serious.
Yes. Time. Yeah. I have to agree with you, Tracy. I think that what's happened in 2020 with COVID, we were all just so busy and so getting on with life, and 2020 hit and we've been confined and we've been have to deal with ourselves. And for some people, that's too much to bear. For some people, being forced into isolation and having trauma in their lives is just too much to bear. So if you think about anyone who takes their own life, there's something in their mind, there's something happening that causes them to think that there is no other option but to end their own life. And if we're talking about trauma and trauma creating trauma, that incidence of suicide has now impacted on that group of friends and those young people, and they have their own trauma. So I'm so glad to hear that they reached out and they're going to talk to Tracy, because she will very clearly articulate, this is going to be traumatic. These are the things that you're going to feel. This is how you're going to think about this. And this is what you'll have to do in the future to make sure that this is okay within your own mind. And Tracy, what are some of the steps that you're going to use with the team this afternoon?
You know, first of all, I'm just going to let them really talk about it. Because
Yes.
trauma bites us when we can't talk about it, when we lock it up, when we throw it down, when we pretend it doesn't exist. Then we're going to debunk the myths that they missed it. They didn't miss it. She
Yes.
clearly had it.
No.
And it's different. You know, she's 19, she's a beautiful friend, and she took her life. So all we're conditioned to feel is sympathy. But the truth of the matter is, she didn't want our help. She didn't reach out for it. And we have to come to terms with that. And we have to be okay with
Yeah.
that because she chose her own way. It was her choice to make. We can be, and then just talk about the grief of being sad that she's gone and finding the beauty. I always think with grief, especially and loss, it's always
Yes.
important to find the beauty to hold on to. You know, for me at 18, when I lost my grandmother, who was truly my North Star, the one woman in the world that probably saved my life from being taken a few times. You know, my other cousins, we were all older at the time, none of them really cared, but for me, I was deeply grieving. But then I realized
Yes.
that when I took what she gave me and made that my stepping stone, that I was honoring her. So we're just going to do some work around honoring this girl today and, you know, finding ways to talk about it, finding ways to be okay with it, that it is okay to talk about, that
Yes.
it has happened. It's not taboo, it's not secret, it's not right or wrong, it just happened. You know, sometimes, you know, I know for me with my childhood experiences, so much of it was taboo because it was wrong. Nobody wanted to talk about men that touched girls. Nobody wanted to
Yes.
talk about men that punched girls. Nobody wanted to talk to kids that had bruises that couldn't be explained. The teachers didn't want to deal with it. Nobody wanted to deal with it. But once I grew up and the world started to change and we could talk about it, when it's no longer taboo, it's not right or wrong. It just happened. That's my story. And it's wrong that it happened to me,
Yes.
but it doesn't define me.
That's
That's
right. It's very important that we give people permission to talk about the traumatic things that happen in their life, because I'm a huge believer that shining the light on secrets and talking about trauma will set you free. For
Absolutely.
lots of people, just finding someone that you trust, that you can talk to about the situation or about your particular trauma, is immensely helpful, because what you do is you discharge some of the feelings of hurt and sadness and grief and guilt by talking about it and by writing about it. You discharge some of those feelings. If you keep them locked up and if you subdue them or push them down or try and hide them, that's when the problems happen. So even if it means going and finding a quiet space and writing about your particular trauma, anything that gets it out of your brain and out of your mind gets it out of your body. So we talk about this a bit, the discharge of the feelings of trauma and how important it is to acknowledge how sad you're feeling. To acknowledge how hurt you feel, to acknowledge how sad you feel. And conversely, there's lots of anger associated with trauma. There's anger about perhaps the perpetrator who did that to you. There's anger about the person who shot someone. There's anger about someone disobeying a traffic law resulting in a fatal accident. There's always an element of anger. And if you don't learn how to deal with that anger, it will cause bodily issues and health issues in your life. So, Tracy, some of the other things that we talk about when we are talking about trauma are things like meditation and exercise and how they help you deal with trauma. You and I both know that meditation is immensely helpful, and there's something that it does to quiet your mind. So trauma sits in your mind, in your brain, if you like, and it causes you to think in a certain way and causes patterns to form in your brain that go on a loop. What meditation does is quiet your brain and quiet those loops that go on in your brain. And I know for myself, and I'm sure Tracy would agree, that when you first start the practice of meditation, it's quite difficult. It's quite difficult to sit, be still, and to process your thoughts in that quiet way. But if you keep doing it, it will quiet and calm your mind, because your brain becomes overactive and overthinks and dwells and reimagines, and you need to quiet down to start that healing process. Do you agree, Tracy?
I do, but I just want to say that meditation isn't something you start with, it's something you implement along the way. I think for the listeners that are listening and they're right at the very beginning of this, they're just realizing today, okay, these signs are in my body. I know there's that trauma. Yes. I know there's that the thing happened. Let's call it the. And I have to deal with it. For those people, meditation isn't the beginning. It wasn't for me anyway, Tony.
It wasn't for me either.
I was so impacted and so broken down that really I had to start working with someone. I had to start talking to someone who wasn't me, someone who hadn't been involved, somebody who was skilled, somebody who was able to help me. And over the 5 years that it took, where in the book that I talk about, I did several different courses. So, you know, there was a time when I did 6 weeks on rejection, and it would just impact my life. And then I would kind of work that out for 6 months. And during in the working out periods that you find that you meditate and that you can be able to do it. But the things that are causing the trauma, the things that need to be healed, the hard stuff, you actually really do need support for that. And I'm a huge advocate for working with people. Working with psychologists, you know, counselors, good mentors that know what they're doing, that don't cross the line into the other fields, but know how to help you with that, depending on what sort of person you are. Type A personalities that like to take a bit more control or like to be a bit more progressive. Sometimes a good life trauma mentor is the person for you rather than a counselor or a psychologist, but they all have their place. You probably, when you look back over the couple of years it takes, maybe you had a team where they tapped in and out and did different jobs for you. Get the pile of books beside the bed, you know, get mine, get Tony's, get everybody else's, you know. There's a bunch of people, Brené Brown, Glendon Evans, there's a bunch of people, Gary V, everybody in the world is talking about this now. So, you know, get the five that resonate with you, put them beside your bed. You know, I chose my five and I read them for years. I just read them over and over, all five books. I read them over and over because until I could almost cite them, because, you know, your subconscious heals. Your subconscious doesn't know time or energy. It only knows what it's told. So your subconscious can heal really fast. And once you've got that in place, then meditation is a really beautiful place and it will come to you really easily.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I know, I can agree, Tracy, that part of my journey was absolutely getting someone to talk to first and foremost, and then it was picking the elements of whatever I was going through. And the first one for me was anger. So I would Google anger and I would research it, I would read, and I would learn what it was that triggered my anger, what it was that I needed to do to calm that anger. And I journaled all those things, read those books, listened to there's amazing podcasts, there's amazing radio shows, there's wonderful things on YouTube about any element of trauma. So just find somewhere to start, and that is usually talking to someone. Tracy, it was talking for you as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, because anger is a masking emotion. You can't be angry without something being present, and the four things that are present are always fear, hurt, rejection, or pain. If those four things are not present, you can't be angry. Today I don't have those four things in my life, and right now I'm not angry. But if somebody comes in here, causes me pain, gives me fear, rejects me or hurts me, then of course anger will automatically show up, because anger is the emotion that shows up and says, hey, you need to deal with this. hey, something's gone on. Hey,
Yes.
we're not right.
Yes.
Hey, we're going to get sick. Hey, listen to us.
Yes.
So anger is actually your friend. The problem is that when you don't say, okay, anger, you showed up. What are you here for? And you just keep living with it, that's when it gets toxic. So when anger shows up, and that's why you got to work with someone else, because they'll help you
Yes.
identify the four things. Because for me, I had all four. I had all four.
Yes.
I was
Yes.
afraid of everybody,
Same.
because people came in
Yes.
before I even had a voice, before I could speak, people came in and took from me. So of course I was fearful.
Yes.
I was hurt. I
Yeah.
had physical pains in my body from the abuse.
Yes.
Rejection, well, it was just a done deal. Obviously, parents that
Yes.
physically and mentally abuse you from childhood, from the youngest age. I went to a school on my fifth birthday in New Zealand. You start school on your fifth birthday. First time I ever learned what a birthday party was. Didn't even know people had birthdays. So, of course, rejection was
Oh
there.
my goodness.
But you know what? The
Yes.
anger was trying to talk to me, and I was making it my
Yes.
friend and getting toxic by the day, until I sat with someone and they said, well, hang on, why don't we just deal with the hurt? Why don't we deal with the rejection? Dealt with the rejection, and all of a sudden I couldn't be as angry as I was. People are like, what's happened to you?
Yes.
Boy,
Yeah.
and so, that's the thing. Anger's a masking emotion. I say that in the book all the time. So it's
Yes.
coming up to say, hey, can you stop? Can you
Yes.
stop and believe in
Yes.
yourself and deal with this? Because if you don't, we're
Yeah.
both going to get really sick.
Yeah. Oh, Tracy, look, we are out of time again this week. Had a zipped
Oh,
by. I just, I know it's completely gone by in a blur. The takeaway from this week is if you recognize any of the signs and symptoms that we've talked about on the show this week, we want to encourage you to reach out and talk to someone. Preferably talk to someone who has some experience in dealing with trauma, but talk to someone and
yeah.
start to verbalize some of the things that you need to heal from and start your journey today. Because I believe that 2020 has been a cathartic year for so many people in so many ways. And I absolutely believe that the next decade on this earth will be completely amazing and life-changing. And I sure as hell want you guys there with us on that journey. So on that note, thank you, Tracy. I'm going to let you go. You've got an important meeting to catch up on. Thank you, everyone, for joining us live on Radio Tony, Tackling Trauma with Tracy and Tony. And we will be back next week with the next episode in Tackling Trauma. Have a wonderful week, and don't forget, reach out and speak to someone if you need to. So that's
Truth.
us for this week. Thank you, Tracy.
Bye, everybody.
Bye for now. Over to you, TJ.